Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Colossians, please. The book of Colossians. Second chapter of Colossians, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them that are at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the opportunity to hear it preached freely in our country. Thank you for our pastor who faithfully, week after week, comes and preaches the Word of God to us. Lord God, more important, thank you for providing the Word of God to us. God, work in our hearts today as we hear the Word of God preached. Help us that are saved, that are your children, to be obedient to what is preached. God, anoint Pastor Johnson for that task. Use him. Empower him today. And then, Father, most important, if someone does not know this Christ in this room today, has never been saved from the penalty of their sin, Father, I pray today they would settle that matter before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'm going to remind you at the beginning of the message again that if you have an electronic device that buzzes, beeps, plays La Cucaracha, whatever the case may be, please turn it to vibrate or turn it to off right now quickly if you would. If it goes off in the service, the person next to you will give you the swine flu. And so help us with that. Just be careful now, all right? And then I ask you to sit still and listen very carefully. We have now for some weeks undertaken in our morning messages a series simply entitled Understanding God. Understanding God, how you view God determines whether or not you will serve Him and how you will serve Him. Sometimes I think as a nation, America has lost its fear of God. Many people have. Say, we're not supposed to be afraid of God. Oh, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And yes, it means to be afraid of God. It means to respect Him and to reverence Him. It's a good thing. It's not bad. These people who have lost their fear of God have lost their fear of law and respect for others and human beings and everything else goes along with that. But we've been attempting to understand God better. We have talked about God's faithfulness, God's working, God's love, God's mercy. We've talked about God's judgment, God's chastisement. You say, well, which one of those are God, Pastor Johnson? Yes, they're all attributes of our God today. And understanding Him helps us to understand better our relationship with Him and what it should be, and that we have to be certain we establish a relationship with God based on who He is, not what we want Him to be, so we can understand Him better. Understanding God. This morning, I want to talk to you about understanding God's mysteries. In my adult Sunday school class, I took three lessons on this as we came to that in the passages of Scripture. We spent more time on it than we'll spend on it today, but you know what a mystery is, don't you? In the Bible, 27 times in the New Testament, the word mystery or mysteries is used, and the word mystery in the Bible means something that is known but has yet to be revealed. In Colossians chapter 2, there in verse number 2, look at the verse again, please, if you would. It says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and in all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God deals with us today, ladies and gentlemen, in many ways, and has been dealing with people in the area, this way of mysteries. In other words, God knows, but we don't. You ever wonder about things? You ever drive up to an ATM at a bank, and there are braille dots on the keys for for blind folks at the drive-up ATM. You walk into the bank and the vault is open with all the money and stuff in the vault, but they chain the pins to the desk that are 25 cents and don't work. You ever wonder about things? When a cow laughs, does milk come out of its nose? I mean, think about it. You know why people have a problem in their marriage? Because they don't marry the best man. They marry the other guy. Should marry the best man. I mean, if he's the best man, marry that guy. Why are you marrying the other guy? Does that make sense? So if pro and con are opposite, and pro means going forward, con means backwards, is Congress the opposite of progress? I think that's what that means. There's just things I don't understand. Why is there expiration dates on sour cream? What's it going to do, go bad? See, you don't think about things. I think about things. That black box that survives every plane crash. Bottom of the ocean, fiery crash. Why don't they make the whole plane out of that thing? The box made it. Okay, never mind. There are mysteries today. When it comes to God, there are things that God allows. There are things that we think are under God's control, and in reality, they're not. Not because He couldn't, because He chooses not to. Sometimes the way God does things, how God works, the will of God, the work of God, the way of God, a lot of times there's a lot of mystery involved in that. Yep, never know, Pastor Johnson. No, mystery in the Bible means, remember, it means something that is known but yet to be revealed. There are folks here this morning sitting in this room, I guarantee you, you've got some questions in your mind about some mysteries, things that have happened, and you're just wondering, yes? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. God never plays games with people's lives. He doesn't fool around and say, oh, I'll mess with that one for a while and just see how much fun that is. That's not how God deals with people. But He is also, if we understand from the Bible very carefully, we understand that He is God. And He has the right to reveal things to us when the time is right. Now that's why there are some mysteries in your life and in mine about the things of God. Because the time is not right. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1 is a great passage of Scripture. Says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. But what profit hath he that worketh, and that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Verse 11, listen. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their hearts so that man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. The reason that there are mysteries with God, friend, is because the time is not right. He'll let you know when the time is right. So you get in the car with your kids and you're going to drive somewhere. What's the first thing they say? Are we there yet? You're driving across America. Before you get to Cottonwood, they want to know, are we there yet? And so you tell them, don't keep asking me. When we get there, we'll get there. When the time is right. There are mysteries with God also because people are not right. Jesus came to His own. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Christ came on this earth, ladies and gentlemen, and presented Himself to the nation of Israel as their Messiah. Gave them every proof they needed. Way beyond the miraculous stuff. Birth in Bethlehem, all of it, everything in order. gave him proof, and on a few occasions they would even ask him, and he openly told them, yes, he was. And they rejected him. So we get to Matthew 13, and Jesus is teaching parables. And he's teaching, you know, behold, a sower went forth to sow. There's seven different parables in Matthew 13. And Jesus is teaching in parables. After that sower, seed, soil parable, the disciples came to Christ and they say, why are you teaching us all in parables? He says, well, I'll explain it to you, but not those guys. They don't want to listen. There are some mysteries in our life, and you think, I want the answer. But in reality, what most people think is, I want the answer I want, not the answer God is going to give me. And so he holds some things back from us until we're right and we're ready for the answer. Yesterday, two of our ladies handed a young person a tract while they were out soul winning, and they handed that tract. The young person invited them to church, and the kid said, I know I need to go, but I don't want to go right now. There are a lot of people in this world today, if God revealed to them the mysteries of the things in their life they don't understand, they wouldn't like the answer that they got. When people are right, mysteries will be revealed to them. Maybe there are things in your life, friend, you're thinking, boy, I wish God would let me know what that was. And the truth of the matter is, what you're really saying is, I wish God would give me the answer I want to hear instead of the truth. God deals in mysteries. Why? Because the time is not right. Number two, because people are not right. Number three, because circumstances are not right. You know, the Christians have been looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ for 2,000 years. All that stuff we read about Christ coming soon and all that, that was written 2,000 years ago by people who believed that Christ would come when they were alive too. He hasn't come yet. 1 Peter, the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, where is the promise of His coming? It's a mystery about the return of Christ. Always fascinates me when people set a date and a time for Christ's return when the Bible says no man knows the hour or the day. But they keep trying to get around the verse. And the only thing that's consistent about predicting the second coming of Christ and setting a date and time is this. Everybody's missed it. Nobody's got it right. Nobody knows but God the Father. The Bible even expressly says in Matthew 24 that Jesus, the Son, does not know the time of Christ's return. It's in the hands of the Father. And if Jesus doesn't know, you don't either. Nor does the sleeping prophet or anyone else who gets a revelation from God. It's a mystery when Christ will return. I know this, though. It could be today. See, the circumstances have not been right for 2,000 years. But they are now. There are dozens of prophecies in the Bible that have to be fulfilled before Jesus Christ returns the second time. Dozens of prophecies, Old Testament, New Testament. There's quite a few of them. Do you realize today there is not one left to be completed now? And that all is done and finished? And there's nothing between us this morning and a trump of God sound and the dead of Christ rising? Nothing but that event itself. We are ready to go. You see, it's a mystery. But yeah, it could take another 100 years. It could take another 100 years. Frankly, I do not believe so. God gives us a little bit of a vignette of the last days. And one of those things is the regathering of the nation of Israel. That took place in the 40s, 1947, 48. And he promised that that generation who saw the regathering of Israel would not pass away until all the things were fulfilled of Scripture. So consequently, those who were born in 47 and 48, you will not die before Christ comes back. We have a generational guideline to follow. So if you're in your 50s or your 60s, you're getting close. Not to the grave, but the second coming of Christ. Do you know why it's a mystery about Jesus' return? Because the circumstances in the hands of God are not fully completed yet. But that's prophecy. That's last days. That's the return of Christ. Why is it you're going through what you're going through in your life? And you don't understand why, and there are no answers for that. Because the circumstances are still not right yet. And when it's right, you'll know. Say, Pastor Johnson, that's just not fair. Really? So we have an unjust God now. He's an unfair God who keeps us in the dark so we just kind of wonder the rest of our life. What do we do about these mysteries? Things not only in prophetic matters, but things in personal lives. You have questions in your mind? I do. Boy, I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I have stood in intensive care rooms, stood beside gravesides, walked the floor in the midnight hours, trying to be a good Christian about things, and say, I'm not going to doubt you, Lord, and I'm not going to question you, but I don't understand this. My brother-in-law, Peter, who our youngest son is named after, helped us start this church over 25 years ago. Knocked on doors there in the Anderson area where we began. This guy loved God. He wanted to serve the Lord with his life. He got cancer. Young father, young husband, two little boys. In the process of his treatment, something that they did, something in the process of it affected him. He had cancer at the base of his brain. They think in the radiation treatment maybe was not quite accurate, and something happened and it changed his personality. He wasn't violent. He wasn't nothing like that, but he just didn't want to live anymore. Went to work every day with skin literally just peeling off of him like a reptile shedding his skin. Burned his chest, burned his neck, but he went to work every day, every day. Took a lunch break, went home, stepped out in his backyard, put a 12-gauge shotgun right here and blew his head off. We got the call and rushed down to Sacramento to go and see the family. I remember walking around in the backyard where he had killed himself with a broken piece of a shovel that I had, praying that God would help me to find any pieces of his skull or his brains that were out there, so his boys, when they went in the backyard, wouldn't step on anything and find pieces of their dad. And while I'm scooping up pieces of his body, I'm saying, now, God, I want to be a good Christian about this, but I don't understand this. Those boys need their dad. That lady in there, she needs her husband. Mysteries. Things that God has allowed in our life that we do not know, but he does, and are not revealed yet. Now, friend, let me tell you something this morning. There are certain ways to deal with this sort of thing in life. How do you deal with or handle in life the mysteries of God? Number one, you wait and you trust. You wait and you trust. You give God time. And God will give you answers. Do you have answers for your brother-in-law's death, Pastor Johnson? Nope. Still don't have the answers. Still, look at me. I still don't see any reason or purpose for it. He would have never done that had he been in good health. He was not that kind of a person. Suicide is never an option for an individual. He would have never done that. Suicide is the height of selfishness. Sorry. But taking your life is not, that's the height of hurting people who you leave behind. And believe me, that man would have never done that knowing what he did. In that way, he was very sick. He was not in his right mind. How many years now, babe, has it been? 22 years. Those boys have all grown up. Life has gone on. Every time we drive by that section of freeway in Sacramento where the cemetery is there, I always think his body's over there. Still don't have an answer for that one. Still don't. Well, that must mean, Pastor Johnson, that God didn't do the right thing. The Bible says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, that's not a statement. It's a question. The answer is your answer. Does God always do the right thing? Or is our thinking, yeah, well, then how come there's all this suffering in the world? You know, if one more person asked me that question, I think in the name of Jesus, I'm going to slap them. For this reason, why does he get the blame for that? How come no one ever walks up to me and says, how come God put the sun up this morning? How come God provided my food yesterday? Why isn't anyone ever questioning the goodness of God and the provision of God and the blessings of God and the grace of God? Why is it God loves me? No one's ever asked me that question. They just want to know why there's sin and suffering in the world and blame God for something he did not create. God made everything but sin. And there's suffering in the world because there's sin in this world. And God's answer is salvation through Jesus Christ. Even God provides the answer for the problem. Don't you lay all that junk at God's feet. Now listen, friend, you can either wait and fuss, and you can wait and worry, and you can wait and doubt, you can wait and become bitter, and you can wait and get angry, you can wait and refuse him, and you can wait and reject him, or you can wait and trust in him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting is not the only answer. Waiting and trusting is. We sing the hymn. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will and abide with Him still, and with all who will, trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I stood beside a grave last year, in December. Buried a granddaughter. You say, Pastor Johnson, you don't wonder about that? Well, of course I do. Of course I do. But my job, ladies and gentlemen, is not to get on God's side of Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for... Okay, that's God's program, ladies and gentlemen. Would you leave God's side of Romans 8:28 alone, please? Leave it alone. That's not our program. I don't understand this. I don't see how this could possibly ever become good in anybody's life for any reason. In any ways, you're on Romans 8:28. You're on God's territory. All things work together for good. That's God's program. My part is to them that the Bible said all things work together for good to them. What? To them who are the called according to His purpose. To them that love Him and to them who are the called according to His purpose. My job is just to live, love Him and live in His purpose. He'll take care of the mystery stuff. See, too many of us today, we've become God. We're God-like. Well, if I was doing things, this is the way. Yeah, and if you were doing it, this world would be more messed up than it is. And just like it's same if I did the same thing. Yes? See, look here, folks. Look at me. Wait and trust. Don't wait and gripe. Wait and trust. Don't wait and get bitter. Wait and trust. Wait and trust. You must understand when the time is right. When you are right, when the circumstances are right, God will lift the veil and you'll understand that. Oh, by the way, may I say this quickly? It may not happen in this life. It may be in the next. Some things I don't think we're going to get the answer for until we get to heaven. And the answer will be when we get to heaven, that we're in heaven, we don't give a rip anymore. That's going to be the answer. Rip, that's Hebrew for we don't care. You know it's true. Now, you're not going to go to heaven and run around bug God all day long like a little brother. How come you did this to me? How come you did that to me? No, you're not. You're going to get to heaven and say, who cares, man? I'm here. Let's have a party. This is it. I don't mean bad party. I mean just have a great time. Play golf forever. Hallelujah. Trust and wait. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? The answer to the question is, yes, he does. I don't understand him, but he does. What do we do about God's mysteries? Trust and wait. Number two, serve and be faithful. Serve and be faithful. Some of us, we sit around, we concentrate so much on what we don't understand that that's become our life. Our life is a question. You know, you see those people with their bumper stickers? My favorite bumper sticker is, I saw it on the car the other day. It said, I ain't been the same since that house fell on my sister. I thought that makes sense. But then there's the other one that says... The other one that says, question everything. Just sit around and discuss what should have been and could have been, and let's be the critics of society. Sit in philosophy classes, and if a tree falls in the forest, all that stupid stuff. The truth of the matter is, friend, listen to me. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. But the Bible doesn't mean you'll be blessed because you're doing. It means you'll be blessed because you're doing, and when the Lord comes, He'll bless you again. Quit sitting around, friend, and analyzing the great mind of God. Forget that. You're not going to get anywhere with that stuff because your mind couldn't touch His. Doesn't the Bible say in Isaiah, His ways are high above our ways, His thoughts above our thoughts? So quit trying to analyze the mind of God. That's ridiculous. First of all, it's insane. Secondly, it's arrogant. You're foolish. No, just acknowledge that He's God Wait and trust for him to come through when the time is right, which he will. And then get busy. Do what God wants you to do with your life. Quit wasting it and throwing time down the holes of the things that consume our lives today. Seriously, there is something more to going to work and coming home and going to work and coming home and going to work and coming home. Now, first of all, thank God if you get to go to work. Don't gripe about jobs. I don't want to hear anybody griping about their job. My job stinks. I got 15 people who will take it today. And then you can go home and think about how much your job stinks. Secondly, thank you for working because you're going to pay for everybody else who doesn't want to, and we won't go into that this morning because I'm trying to keep this on an upper note, okay? But number three, forgive me. But number three, the point is this, ladies and gentlemen, don't you understand? It's good to go to work. I like work. Work's not bad. It is a four-letter word, but it's not a bad four-letter word. I like work. I like the fact that I get to get up and I go to work and I get to do something with my life that makes a difference. But my life is not my work. Work helps pay so I have a life. But oh, when I get to do something for God, for eternal things, for people, that becomes life. You know what? Maybe God will show you through working out the situations in someone else's life as you help them, he'll answer a mystery for you and your own. And you'll see it and you'll say, ah, so that's it. There'll be times sitting there in counseling sessions, talking with a person and they tell me their situation and those sort of things. I've been a pastor 25 and a half years and I haven't heard anything in the last 5 years I haven't heard before. And I pray and I seek God for wisdom. Lord, please help me. Give them a good answer of the scriptures of what the Bible says they should do. And sometimes in a counseling session, as I'm talking with him, God will just give me something to help him with it. It's a Bible principle I never thought applied to that situation. And while I'm talking with him, I get out a piece of paper and I'm writing things down. And they're probably thinking, well, he's writing a list down. No, I'm writing it down. Boy, that was good. Where in the world did you get that? What verse of scripture would that come from? And put that together. Later on, I'm going to think about that. Man, that was good stuff. Wow, it came from the Bible. It wasn't because I had any brilliance, even though my mother called me son. The truth, that was corny. Come on, folks, stay awake. Now church is almost over. The truth of the matter is, you know, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing to me that when you stay busy, listen to me, you serve God and you stay faithful to what's right with your life. It's amazing how God has a desire to reveal mysteries to those people. Why? Can I ask you a question? Look at me. If you had all perfectly good health, all the money on the planet that you needed, good job that gave you all the vacation you desired, what would you do with that kind of life? So if he fixed all your problems, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. If he fixes all your problems, what would you do with a life with no problems? Would you be in church next Sunday? Would everything still go right along like it's, you know, you still be reading your Bible and trusting the Lord and listening to Amazing Grace and crying your eyeballs out? Would you still be doing that? You see, folks, look at me. Faithful, serving and being faithful to God. It's amazing what God would do with this. We want to do we want to have our own life and do it our way and expect God to answer our questions and do what we want. Excuse me, that just turns the whole situation around and now he's subject to you and the God of heaven is not subject to us. It doesn't work like that. He's got to answer it our way, in our time, the way we want it, and that's the way it's going to be. Wrong! That's not God. He doesn't work like that. We serve and we're faithful and we do what we're supposed to. One of the great statements in the Gospels was about a servant who went out and served all day in the fields and served his master. And when he came in after working all day in his fields, the master said, "Now, wash my feet and make me dinner." The servant girded himself, washed the master's feet, made him dinner. And then when he got a chance to eat later on, it was good. And Jesus used the illustration or analogy and said, that's what God does when he looks at our lives. He says, do you think he's blessed because we do what we're supposed to? He's thankful for our faithfulness and he appreciates it. But when we do just what we're supposed to do, we've been obedient, but we still haven't really served yet. Service comes after obedience. And you know something? I find those dear people, they get a lot of answers that others don't seem to get in their life. Be faithful and serve. You know how we deal with these mysteries of God in our life? Be ready and be right. First of all, be certain of salvation today. A young man sat in my office one day, 25 years old. He said, Pastor Johnson, I've got four questions for you. Question number one, I want to know how to find the right mate in life. Question number two, I want to know about God's will. Question number three, I want to figure out where I should go to school. And question number four, I need to know about salvation. I said, okay, let's take that list and turn it upside down. Question number four is question number one. Are you saved? That's number one. Because see, who you marry doesn't matter, and God's will never be known, and it doesn't make a difference what school you go to if you're on your way to hell. So let's talk about salvation first. And we dealt with salvation first. Now look at me this morning. See, you think if God will answer all your questions, then you would be kind enough to throw him a bone and, you know, trust Christ and get saved. No. No. Salvation first. You want mysteries answered? You need to become God's child. You ever been around those kids who want to ask a million questions? They become slightly irritating after a while. Because you think, 6 months ago you were sitting in a diaper with peanut butter in it. Now you want to ask me like you're a rocket scientist. What is the deal? When they ask me all these questions, it kind of gets on your nerves after a bit. But when it's your own kid, my grandchildren can ask me all the questions they want to. You know why? Because those are my grandchildren. We're driving down the road and say, hey, Pookie, look at those flowers. Why? What do you mean, why? There's no why to that. Just look at them. But why, Gramps? Why are there flowers? Because God put them there. Why? Because he wanted us to look at them. Why? I don't have another answer. And she looks at me and she goes, I understand. She's three. Now she's four. I don't mind all the questions. Not for my kids. Nope, don't mind. You become a child of God, my friend. You know there are questions that he'll be more than glad to answer for you. Settle this thing about salvation. Trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is your number one priority. I'm not saying I'll get all your questions answered. I'm saying no questions are answered unless you're a child of God. Everything else is just a bunch of wondering. Life should not be a question mark at the end of every sentence. Be ready and be right. And if you are a child of God, get your life in order, friend. Before God and before mankind, get your life in order. Well, I will if he straightens some things out. You know, that's your attitude, right? And you really expect God to respond to that correctly. Like, here, God. Come here, God. Sit right there. Now, tell me everything. I'm going to, okay, now go on. Go back in the corner. I'm going back to the way I want to live my life. And God is supposed to step up to that. See, that's why we need to understand God, really. He is not subject to our whims and our wishes. And he is not subject to his creation. He's the creator. We are his creation. And child of God, dear friend, listen to me. Your life needs to be right so these God can open the mysteries of these things in our life so we can understand them better. And he'll give you grace until he brings the answers. Well, you've been waiting 22 years on one answer, Pastor Johnson. Oh, I've been waiting longer than that on answers. Oh, yes. But till then, it's okay. And God will work this thing out. And I didn't understand growing up in a drunkard's home as a boy. I do now, though. Now I understand why. God didn't want that, but he has used it to help me to help people. So I got an answer. It's all good to go, and I didn't have to go on Oprah or go to Dr. Phil. It's amazing. I got the answer without an intense session and a lot of medication. I got there. Fascinating. Christian, look at me. There are mysteries with God, things he knows that we do not, that will be revealed in his time when we're right, when the circumstances are in order. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning, would you?